يا
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، العبد المعيد الرسول المسدد المصطفى العمجد المحمود الأحمد سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد
وعلى آل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين، لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين، صاحب العصر والزمان، خليفة الرحمن، إمام الإنس والجان، ولعن الله أعداءهم أجمعين إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله وقوله الحق. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ونريد أن نمن على الذين استضعفوا في الأرض ونجعلهم أئمة ونجعلهم الوارثين. صدق الله العلي العظيم. صلوا على محمد وآل محمد. عظم الله أجورنا بمصابنا بالحسين بن علي. May Allah grant us the greatest of rewards for our grief and our musibat towards Abu Abdullah at Shabi Ashur. And it's a night of musibat and a night of tears. A few points I wanted to make, and then inshallah we'll read some masayib, and it won't be a very lengthy talk, and then I believe we have a discussion or a Q&A afterwards. The Quran in Surah Qasas talks about this plan or this desire of Allah to elevate those who are the oppressed in the world. وَنُرِيدُ أَن نَمُنَّ عَلَى الَّذِينَ اسْتُزْعِفُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ. We wish to bless those who are the mustaz'afin in the earth. How? وَنَجْعَلَهُمْ أَئِمَّا. We're going to make them imams. وَنَجْعَلَهُمُ الْوَارِثِينَ. We're going to make them inheritors of this land. And this is the verse that majority of the ulama use to talk about the ultimate aqibat, or talk about the actual outcome of all of this struggle happening right now all over the world. The injustice, the oppression, the tyranny, all of it will come to an end one day when the very people that are being oppressed will be the very people who will rule over the land, inshallah. It's a promise of Allah, it's a verse of the Quran, it will happen. In the process, however, it's up to us to speed up that process, to elevate those who are being oppressed all over the world, and to expose those who are doing the oppressing. This mission of Hussein ibn Ali, which will come to its climax from tomorrow morning, as you know, the day of Ashura, the war began in the morning. And the sheer amounts that he went through from morning until the Asr of Ashur was incredible. Body after body, zahmat after zahmat, all these things were there. And right now, our situation is such that we have to look at history and look at those who had the opportunity to serve Imam Hussein and chose not to. Every single Thursday with a lot of heart, we read, Ya laytani kunta ma'akum fa'afudha ma'akum. The Lord Abba Abdullah, if only, gosh, I was there with you on the day of Ashura, I would also attain success and elevation along with you as well. And we say it almost as if it's not possible. And those who believe the day of Ashura to be a historical day, they say it as a symbolic or a commemoration or some sort of a tribute to Abba Abdullah. It's not a tribute to Abba Abdullah. We have the opportunity today, right now, to make those words come true. If we believe, and I know all of us do, that every single day we go through this pain of Ashura, and for us, every land, every piece of land is the Maidan of Karbala, then this verse in Zirat al-Waritha can hold true for us. We can actually prove to Abba Abdullah that not only is this lip service, but I'll prove to you today, in this Maidan, the Karbala of today, against the Yazid of today, beside the Hussein that is in Ghaybat right now, I will do with that Imam what I would have done with you on the day of Ashura. It is an opportunity. And some of us will take that opportunity and others will not. We have three types of companions in the history of this entire Karbala mission that are not worthy of mentioning. We have companions, of course, that are praised. And this is the night where they really showed their loyalty to Abba Abdullah. This was the night where that infamous moment of the blowing out of the candle, the night of worship, all of them in a state of complete calm and itminan. Those companions are different. The three I'm about to describe are different. The three have three different categories. We have the passive companion, the cautious companion, and the conditional companion. A little bit of history, then move towards Masayib, inshallah. You had a long night, I know. There's a longer day ahead of us as well. And then that's it, we're done. Until next year. It's a matter of a few hours left. The passive companion, Amr ibn Qais al-Shariqi, his name was. Like I mentioned a few nights ago, when the news spread out that there was this movement in Kufa, and Abba Abdullah had letters written for him, and he was going to go and confront the government in Kufa, or at least go and see what the situation in Kufa was like. He was still in Medina, in Mecca, that area. He would approach individuals and give them an opportunity now to serve the cause. Amr ibn Qais al-Sharqi was one of them. Abba Abdullah would approach him and would say to him, جِئَتْهُمُونَ لِنُصْرَتِي, are you going to come for my help with me? And Amr ibn Qais would look at the Imam and he'd begin to give him 1,000 excuses. He would say, يَبْنَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ, I'm old. I won't be much help for you. I have people's amanat in my home. I have debts that I need to pay people back with. I don't really know how to fight. I would be actually a liability for you, not an asset for you. I'll cry for you. I'll pray for your victory. If news of your shahadat is sent to us, we will no doubt grieve over you. He's saying it as if what he's doing is a favor to Abba Abdullah. And then Imam Hussein has a very important message for him and by extension to all of us. He says, that's fine, Amr, it's up to you, no problem. But understand that when I call for help on the day of Ashura, and that call is heard by you, and you don't act on that call, then you will be amongst those who did dhulm against me on the day of Ashura. So if I were you, I would go far away from here, out of sight, out of sound, If, God forbid, my call for help reaches your ears, you'll be held responsible. The second companion, Ubaydullah ibn Hur al-Ju'fi. This individual was the passive companion, the cautious companion. Again, Imam Hussein comes to him, جِئَتُمُونَ لِنُصْرَتِي, are you going to come and help me in my cause? He says, Ya Ibn Rasulullah, I have kids, I have a family, I'm injured, but I'll tell you what I'll do for you. I have a brand new sword, unused. I have a horse that's very strong and young. I will give it to you to use on the day of Ashura. Consider it a gift from me. I won't even ask for any payment from you. And this was the man that Imam Hussein said to him that, Ubaydullah, you were the one that fought against my father in Siffin. Your track record, your Kitab-e Amal right now, in the eyes of Allah, is not that great. I'm giving you a moment to erase all of that and carve your path to Jannah. And you're offering me a sword and a horse. He says, you keep your sword and horse, no problem. I don't need the sword and the horse. But again, he said the exact same statement he said to Amr bin Qais. If my call the day of Ashura reaches your ears and you don't do anything, you'll be amongst those who did dhulm against me. The conditional companion, Dahaq ibn Abdullah Mashriqi. Dahaq went even one step further to actually arrive on the 2nd of Muharram with Aba Abdullah in Karbala. He made a deal with him. He said, Hussein, I'll come with you. You're asking me for help, I'll come with you. But I want to be able to leave whenever I see that you're not going to win this war. Imam Hussein says, no problem. I don't force anybody. 2nd of Muharram comes, they arrive in Karbala, the 6th, the 7th, the 8th passes by. And he sees that on one side, thousands upon thousands, on the other side, with the exception of Habib, there's no one else really coming for Aba Abdullah al-Hussein's help. Like I said before, the maximum amount that I have read in books are 100 with Imam Hussein. The maximum I've read in books on that side were over 30,000 people. Comes to Imam Hussein before the day of Ashura. This man was days away. And says, Imam Hussein, I want to cash in on my deal. This is one-sided. This war will be lopsided. You and your companions will not make it. If it's okay with you, I want my release. Go back to Medina. Imam Hussein says, no problem. It's up to you. Those who want to be here for their own sake. I don't force anybody. Imam Hussein says to him, I don't have a horse for you. I have no way of you getting back. He says, I've already made prior arrangements for my return to Medina. Down the road, I stashed my horse under a nice tent. He's rested, he's fed, he's waiting to take me back to Medina. I mean, this man had one foot in the path of Imam Hussein and one foot out of the path of Imam Hussein. This partial submission caused him to pull himself out. These three companions, quote-unquote companions, that we have, the cautious, the passive, the conditional, and the message that Imam Hussein gives to every single one of them, if my call for help reaches your ears, you don't do anything, you are amongst those who have done dhulm against me, and that's supported by Zarat al-Waritha. When we say that we send la'ana to those who heard this cry, heard this oppression, and what didn't say a single word, they were indifferent. They are grouped in the same category as those who are the qatilin and the dhalimin of Aba Abdullah. that call you and I, my brothers and my sisters, have heard it every single year. Hal min nasirin, of course, has reached our ears. The question is, that did Imam Hussein dedicate that one message to Amr bin Qais or Ubaydullah ibn Ju'fi? Or was that a message for generations upon generations? That our duty lies far beyond simple commemoration. Because in India, in Pakistan, as you know, more in India, there are individuals who are non-Muslim. I've heard of Hindus coming and taking part in the Julus of Abu Abdullah on the day of Ashura. They come, they're draped in black, they're barefoot, they have khak in their hair, they're a mess, they're in tears. There in the Julus, right beside them is a Shia of Abu Abdullah in the same Julus. He has khak in his hair. He's barefoot. His sleeves are rolled up. His buttons are open. He's also a complete mess. They're walking behind the alam in the Julus. One says, Ya Hussein. The other says, Ya Hussein. One cries, the other one cries. One is Hindu, one is Shia. The Julus is done, they both go home. Is there a difference? There has to be a difference. What is that difference between that Shia and that Hindu? Ma'rifat, awareness. One believes for him to be the third Imam, and one doesn't believe for him to be the third Imam, and that's the extent of it. What is the difference between that Shia and that Hindu? Because love for Hussein isn't enough for a Shia. You put any individual in the Farsh-e Adha who has a beating heart, he'll cry for Hussein. You put anybody and you retell him the story of Karbala, his heart will break like yours does and mine does. The difference is that Imam Hussein has a different umid and hope when it comes to us, and a different umid when it comes to anybody else. Tonight is Shab-e Ashur. It's a night to pledge and give allegiance to the path of Abu Abdullah. And God forbid when his son comes out of Ghaybat, that we fall in one of those three categories. When he comes to us and says, can I help you with anything, or can you help me in my mission? We'll have 1,000 excuses. Ya Sahib Azan, I would love to, but I'd be honored to, but I want to, but, because the Imam will walk away from us and the loss will be ours. A lot of our youth out there, my kids out there, you guys are tired, I know. May Allah bless you. We're stuck, and sometimes we create this area inside of us, this misconception that all the Imam needs is 313 followers. So we convince ourselves, the ulama, the maraji, there are people who are far more pious than me. I'll never make that list. So what do? We stop preparing ourselves. There's no point that you say. There are people for generations who are far greater than I am. The reality is, the 313 are a khas followers or slash commanders of the Imam's army. He requires thousands upon thousands of people to fulfill his mission. All we have to do, all I want to do, I don't know about anybody of you, all I want to do is do something where when the Imam comes, he'll look at me and say, you know what? I can use you for my mission. That's all I want. If I clean floors very well, he tells me, MashaAllah, look, you see this brother here? Ghulam Abbas, he's a soldier of mine. A true soldier of mine. He lives in those quarters. While he's out there fighting for my mission, I want you, Asad, to go and make sure his bathroom is clean. His room is ready. His kitchen is mopped. His fridge is full. If that's all he has for me, labbaik. If that's all he sees me worthy of, labbaik. All I want is that when this mission begins and the people are walking around the streets, and they look at me, they say, see this guy right here? He is with the Imam of our time. All I want, and all you should want, is nisbat with the Imam. That's it. I don't care about 313. I don't care about being a khas soldier. I know that I am not an asset at all to the Imam. I can barely walk from here to the car without sweating and breathing heavily. I'm no use to him. If I could show him anything, one small thing that I could do, stand there and, I don't know, do whatever, that's what I want. All I want to do is live my life. So when the Imam looks at me, he says, I could use you in my army. My youth, please do something in your life. Where the Imam does a double take and says, wait. See this boy? Bring him here. I want him when I come. Just anything. Do anything. Show the Imam something. Tonight your hearts are bleeding. Tonight your hearts are soft. Mold that heart towards the Imam. The same Imam who says in Zat al-Nahiya that if I was there on the day of Ashura, if I was there, who is this? Imam Zamana talking to his grandfather. If I was there on the day of Ashura, I would fall myself in front of you and take every arrow I could possible. I would sacrifice my children, my family, my blood, my existence for you, Abu Abdullah. If I could, I would. He then says, accept my salams. Imam Zamana is saying to Imam Hussein, accept my salams to you, O Abu Abdullah. He's sitting right now at the head of Abu Abdullah in Karbala from morning till evening, today and tomorrow, crying tears of blood. He is nowhere. He's right where he should be. He's right where you and I are dying to be right now. The days of Arba'een, 20 million people go towards Imam Hussein. 20 million people in a war-torn country where a bomb can go off at any time, where ISIS is everywhere. In that country, people are begging, pleading, spending their life savings for that one moment where they could sit there and rub their cheek on the zari of Abu Abdullah. That's it. That's all they want. They go by plane, they go by car, they go by water, they go by boat. I saw one man pulling himself that had no legs from Najaf to Karbala, pulling himself on the ground towards Karbala for that one moment where you stand there in front of the zari of Abu Abdullah and say, Assalamu alaikum. That's it. Right now, if you had the opportunity right now tonight to catch a flight to Karbala, not a person in this room would say no. This is the love we have. This is the heart that we have. Turn that heart towards the Hussein of your time. Do something where he says yes. This is not just talk. Ya laytani kunta ma'akum fa'afuza ma'akum is right now. Don't wish you were there. You're here now. It's time to show up. Let's rise up, show the Hussein of our time. We're not just talk. We are people who are fa'al. When Amir al-Mu'mineen took over the Khilafat, the first thing he announced to the Ummah was, I am a rajulun fa'al. I'm a man of action. I will restore the Prophet Sunnat and the Quran. I expect you to also be men of action. We need to be men of action. Let's start to do something. Establish a movement. Look inside yourself. Find that deen inside of you. Elevate yourself. Use these tears as wings to fly. Sheikh Mutahari has a beautiful depiction of Islam. He says, I want you to imagine that Islam is a bird. The body of the bird is the basset of the Holy Prophet. One wing is Ghadir, one wing is Karbala. And the bird is flying towards the zuhur of the Imam of our time. What a beautiful picture. It's a night that we pledge allegiance. It's a night of bay'at. We tell you, Abu Abdullah, you didn't give bay'at to Yazid, but we are giving bay'at to you tonight.
Labbaik ya Hussein! Labbaik ya Hussein! Labbaik ya Hussein! Labbaik ya Fahdi! Labbaik ya Fahdi!
لبيك
يا مهدي
برشان
محمد
وآل
محمد
صلوات الله صلوات أحسنت. I wanted to, of course, tomorrow is dedicated to Imam Hussein completely. I don't know why I keep thinking about usually on Shabi Ashur, for some reason my heart goes towards Bibi Zainab. And I wanted to spend a few minutes tonight of Musibat about, if it's alright with all of you, your permission with Bibi Zainab, Asri Rashid, of course, will be Imam Hussein. Shamil Ghaliba will be Imam Hussein. You know, when Amir al-Mu'mineen was given orders by his doctor that the poison had reached a point where now you don't have much longer to live, ya Amir al-Mu'mineen. He gave nasiha to all his children. He sat down Zainab and he had this conversation with her. This was the same Imam Ali that when he was struck with Ibn Muljim's sword, he saw the tears in Imam Hassan's eyes. He said, be patient, Hassan. He saw the tears in Imam Hussein's eyes. He said, be patient, Hussein. But one small tear he saw in Bibi Zainab's eyes, he didn't tell her to be patient. He began to cry himself. One tear of Bibi Zainab. It's a devastating night for her tonight. She knows that her journey is about to begin. She knows that while Imam Hussein will go through one death, she will go through a death every step of the way towards Sham. What didn't Imam Sajjad see? Imam Sajjad saw everything. But yet when he was asked what was the most difficult time for him throughout his whole journey, he said, Sham, Sham, Sham. When someone comes to him and says, Ya Ibn Rasulullah, it's your virasat of the Ahlul Bayt for Shahadat. You crave Shahadat, why do you cry so much? He says, you're right. We welcome Shahadat, it's a gift from Allah. But parading our women without a chadar in the bazaar of Sham, that's not our virasat. Throwing rocks at the Ahli Haram is not our virasat. Not allowing them to cry for their men is not virasat. Imam Ali sits down Bibi Zainab and says, Zainab, after I'm gone, you'll go through a lot of musibat. What's her laqab? She's Ummul Masaib. He says, you'll go through this and you'll go through this. And she sat there and she listened. He said, every single time you go through a musibat, be patient. Every time you go through a musibat, be patient. Every time you do this, be patient. And she says, yes, Baba, I'll be patient. Yes, Baba, I'll be patient. Yes, Baba, I'll be patient. When he was completely done, she said, Baba, can I ask you a question? He says, of course. She says, Baba, I'll be patient. But if ever I ask you for help, will you come and help me, Baba? He says, of course I'll help you. Of course I'll help you. I want to examine for a brief few moments where did Bibi Zainab ask for help of Amir al-Mu'mineen. Our hearts are with you, Zainab, tonight. It's a very difficult thing to understand. Second of Muharram, this qafla reaches Karbala. She hears the word Karbala, she begins to cry. She does not ask her Baba for help. Jami Qasim's body is brought back to the Khaymah, didn't ask Baba for help. Allah Muhammad is brought back to the Khaymah, she kneels down to Sajda and says, accept this Qaleel Hadiyah. She doesn't ask Baba for help. Ali Akbar's mayat comes back to the khaymah. She comes running out. She doesn't ask Baba for help. The ruksat and al-wida of Aba Abdullah, this conversation between Zainab and Hussein, the most difficult thing she might have done in her life, when she watches her brother go towards the maidan of Karbala, she cries. She's in grief. But she doesn't ask Baba for help. On Sham-e-Ghariba, some riwayat say that Ali came himself, but she never asked Baba for help. That moment when this qafila moved towards Kufa and Sham, And she asked Umar ibn Sa'd, before you take us towards Sham, can you just take us towards the Maidan of Karbala? I want to send my akhri salams to my brother. One Mal'un in Nafus al-Mahmun narrates that I was there from Medina to Karbala to Kufa to Sham back to Medina. I saw everything, every moment of sadness. But through all of that, the only time I heard the daughter of Fatima shriek with sadness was when she passed by the body of her brother Abu Abdullah and she saw the trampled body of Hussein. That shriek I will never forget in my life. Bibi Zainab, our salams to you tonight. This qafila gets ready to go towards Kufa and Sham. She's mounting one child after one child. She's mounting one woman after one woman. She's left. Umm Kulthum is left. Umm Kulthum says that Bhabi, I will put you on the horse. She says, no, I'll mount you on the horse. Zainab mounts Umm Kulthum on the horse. And then she stands there. And my heart tells me that her mind went towards 28th of Rajab when she left Medina. And there were five of her soldiers, five of her brothers, five of her men that were helping her mount the horse. But today she stands there alone. And our books tell us that nowhere did she call out for Hussein. She didn't call for Ali Akbar. She didn't call for Arul Muhammad. She didn't call for Qasim. She turned towards Farah and said, Abbas, your Zainab is standing here all by herself, ready to mount the horse, and you lie there on the banks of Farah. I never thought I'd see the day when my Abbas wouldn't be here beside me. All of that, she didn't ask Baba for help. The journey went towards Kufa. She enters the courtyard of Yazid. Yazid's courtyard has seven doors to it. She enters door number one. She enters door number two. She enters door number three and four, five and six. When the seventh door opens, she sees in front of her 700 men that are sitting there waiting for this tamasha to begin. The daughter of Ali stands at the door of the courtyard of Yazid and doesn't move and says, if anyone has the majal to make me move, I will not enter this courtyard. Imam Sajjad says, Papi Amma, a little bit of patience, I'm with you, let's enter the courtyard. She doesn't move. Our books tell us, from the Nokeneza, Imam Hussein says, Ban Zainab, I'm with you, let's enter the courtyard together. She looks at Bhaiya Hussein, she says, Hussein, you're telling me, I'll go towards the courtyard. Just answer me one question, which way is it to Najaf? She turns towards Najaf and says, Baba. Baba, your Zainab is asking you for help. سَيَعْلَمُ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا أَيَّ مُنْقَلِبٍ يَنْقَلِبُونَ إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. We ask you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, at Shabi Ashur, nothing else matters, it's just about Hussein right now. We ask you, Allah, please keep this passion, this love for Imam Hussein in our hearts forever. We pray to you, Allah, just give us one more year of Azadari Baba Abdullah. There were those who were with us last year who are not with us this year. Just give us one more year. This is our contentment. This is our sukum. This is our itminan. We don't know anything beyond this. We ask you, Allah, let us use this to prepare ourselves for the arrival of your wali, inshallah. Let us use this to better our souls, to reform ourselves, to unite our communities, to fight off the enemies of Islam, to help the oppressed, to be those who fight against the oppressor, inshallah. We ask you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to accept our tears, accept the tears of our men and women, our youth and our children, We ask you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to send a very clear message to our mother Fatima Zahra, that so long as there is breath inside of us, we will forever cry for your son. We will forever remember your son. If the world forgets what your son did, we will remind them every single year what your son did and what he sacrificed. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.